second, 2022 meeting of the Wyman Planning Board. This meeting will come to order. This is a public proceeding, and unless the board specifically votes to an executive session, they have the right to hear everything that's being said and look at all the exhibits that are offered. The board votes to an executive session, the reasons for same shall be stated. Please notify the chairman if you're having difficulty seeing or hearing. This meeting is being recorded. Nietzsche, since the burden is upon the applicant, demonstrate compliance with the provisions of the applicable ordinance or ordinances. After the board votes on the merits of each project, it will prepare a written opinion, which will be forwarded within 7 days. The board works for a prepared agenda and will be considering tonight's items in the following order. Meeting following the public hearing, Bonnie Begg Land Development, LLC, request for contract zoning amendment at 382 Goodwin's Mills Road on tax map 11, lot 122, and portions of lot 53-1 and 124B to allow up to 45 residential units, review and approve minutes, new business, and open issues. All right, so I guess I'll start the conversation off by saying I don't feel we should vote on it because I don't think all the information went out. And I don't think it's right to do that.
No, I agree with you.
Based on some of the comments tonight, if the applicant's willing to submit a proposed conditions and restrictions that we can look at the next meeting, or at, I think we're going to end up having another
Right. Right. Yes. And I think they should, after hearing all these comments tonight, you know, submit something.
I notice I'm taking copious notes, so.
Yeah, we will expand upon what's our intent. For example, two-bedroom units, single story, not to be expanded beyond the footprint and not to go higher. I think it's in here, up to 36 units. Again, it'll be up to the planning board and what the state standards, if we can't meet it, that's why Stephen said up to. So we will expand upon the conditions. And to make it easier, it'll alleviate a lot of the questions that came through.
And it should address all of the concerns that were mentioned here. I know you can't give specifics on the soil fish yet, but that's going to be included. Traffic got to be included. Things that were mentioned by the townspeople, the folks who need to replace their home, has to be, I think, addressed in some fashion, or at least a pledge to address those things, have to be included in the conditions.
Yeah, I mean, it would, that's the tricky part, right? Because,
The town and the state has standards, so we have to meet those anyways. That supersedes everything. I mean,
but you have citizens that live here that voice some very good concerns about this.
Right.
Yeah.
And I feel they should be listened to.
Absolutely.
Oh, we're listening to them.
We fully agree with that. But the tough part is it's got to start somewhere, right? So if a contract starts, there's a time limit to it, by the way, but say we do it, we can't find enough soils to support all the units. Those units don't get built. There's no way around that. And then, okay, sell it to the next developer, say. They'll go look to see if they can make the soils work. Probably not going to happen. In fact, you probably wouldn't be able to sell it. They'd say, oh, you already looked and it doesn't work. Fine, I'm not buying it either. 3 years go by, it's ripped up, thrown in the trash. The contract doesn't exist. That's the way it's currently written, you know? So there's no possible way to build any part of this project without proving our burden of proof that the water works, that the septic works, that traffic works. Anything the planning board wants to ask us with public hearings.
And I don't think it's too much to ask that when the notification for the next public hearing goes out, that part of the conditions, granted it's in state law, granted it's part of what normally happens in terms of development, water testing, soil testing, et cetera, that is part of the conditions of that the developer is acknowledging that they will address those issues. If not immediate, I think that should be...
Sure, absolutely.
So that the folks here know that they have been heard, and their concerns will be addressed at some point in time.
We will make a... We'll include a specific reference that any umbrella language, it will be dealt with the applicable governmental agency, whatever. It's the planning, it's the state, it's the county. Okay. We will address, and we can spell out some of them in terms of like water, soil.
Sure. No, I absolutely.
One of the things I'm concerned about is I'm looking at all these units and going, okay, I have a potential to be affected by that. I live over off Deer Hill.
Yeah.
I have a fairly shallow well, 75 feet. I have, I think, 6 or 7 feet above my pump. Now, all of a sudden, you start going in there, and you drop down 200 feet, and these guys are sucking out 10 times water. All of a sudden, my height dropped down. You drop the water cable down 7 feet.
That's
so that there's two thoughts. One is that the state has standards. The other thing is what I heard tonight is some gentlemen said that, or two or three, that there is so much water here, that the water table is so high, there's too much water. So I don't know what the answer is.
Right. We actually dug in some spots that the water table was pretty low. It was when we were thinking septic, right? But we might go to the other end of the site
and dig down 2 feet, up. And you're there.
So it's kind of we have to, and I say we. I'm not a water guy, a groundwater guy, but you know, okay, hey, you're gonna put your septic here. Well, prove that it works here, right?
Yeah.
Like we can't know everything about what's going on under the ground, but where we intend to do things, and then when it comes to abutting wells and not my field, but we will get someone that's on the field. But the I guess the big difference for us is we don't want to do a bunch of studies only to have it voted down by the selectmen. It would be
And we understand that because
I want to see that it'll work primitive for we grant that.
Well, we won't
grant approval on the second level until they can prove it works.
But isn't water important? I don't understand how you can even present a large, detailed project like this with water not even being close to being addressed.
But think about it this way: when developers,
that doesn't make sense to me.
The way things develop and new ideas and ways to preserve school buildings or whatever it might be. Developers, you know, they take risks, obviously, right? So you look at it. Oh, you got a clear set of standards I have to meet. If I can prove that I can meet those standards, I get to build this. Okay, it's a project. But if you tell them that between that, those standards, and where you're standing today, it's up to a vote, no developer in their right mind is ever going to spend that money doing those studies. Until they know it's legally permissible. I mean, why would you spend money to do that? I would advise our client, absolutely not. It's not.
I just want to add that our ordinance allows for them to come for a contract first.
Right.
And then come back to the planning board. They could do it at the same time, but no one does that because you're not going to spend all that money on studies if we're just going to turn them down in the contract. Mm-hmm. But our ordinance allows you to do what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Coming here first, then coming back to the planning board.
Well, and I think there's probably a lot of thought put behind that process. And a lot
I've got an issue here, and I mentioned it when first, I think you came, or maybe it was Dave Alves came. The question was density. In other words, what is the determination on density with respect to this project? And you have explained what you're asking for. There's nothing in our ordinances that I know of that would allow this much density on any project in any zone. I mean,
that's why they're coming for a contract.
I understand. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm getting at. My question at the time was, well, you know, why did you come up with, 18 buildings? I mean, why wasn't it 25? Why wasn't it 10?
That was the max.
I know that. What I'm saying is that I don't. The problem I have with this is that, and somebody made a point. I'm not sure I ever agreed with him on anything, but
Pandora's box.
Yeah, and also the fact that we don't have any kind of an ordinance that covers, I guess the terminology is planned unit development or something.
PUD.
And we don't have anything that covers that. We only so it comes under the contract zone.
comes under subdivision.
Well, but this doesn't really come
under cluster development.
Well, so
also,
wait a second. Hold phone, Coach. True. Subdivisions, as I remember, you still have to you have to meet, you know, the units you can put in. So you have cluster subdivisions, but otherwise you've got to go, what, it's 3 acres,
that's
right?
Why we're going with the contract.
I know, what I'm saying is there's no minimum level. I mean, you know.
Septic is the minimum. Septic,
I'm sorry?
Septic systems, well, are what is the limiting factor here. Like, what can that property support for septic and well?
They yeah, I understand so that, but what I'm getting at is that we don't have anything in our rules. I mean, I like to follow the rules as written. And the problem with a contract zone, which I know we've done it a couple of times, and it seems like it's worked out for those particular projects, is that this seems to open it to where we can put as many units on that property. And I don't mean, I'm not being negative on you guys, but I'm just saying put as many units on that property as we can. And so there doesn't seem to be any restrictions on that.
That you are correct. And that's where the opinion from 3 years ago talks about where it has to meet requirements of state law, and then consistent with your growth management program, your comprehensive plan, in established rezone areas are consistent with the existing and permitted uses, and only include conditions and restrictions that relate to the physical development. So, in theory, you could have 1 million units.
Yeah. But I'm just saying our comprehensive plan, I'd have to reread it, whether it has in there a goal to get down to 1 acre units. I know
it does.
I'm sorry?
It does.
It's in there.
1 acre.
So that's what I'm worried about a little bit, because, and I know this doesn't establish a precedent for other projects, and I don't think it should, but, you know, how much is enough here? That's my point. How much is enough? What rules are we following? And we get into the contract zone, we're doing it by... We're doing it by restricting, we're putting restrictions on the project, as opposed to saying, okay, here's what the rules are, you got to follow these rules, and then we may put additional restrictions on. Right now, we're basically saying, if we go forward with this, you can, you know, we recommend approval of this or whatever with these restrictions. So we're just sort of throwing out the ordinance.
No, yeah. We're saying we recommend approving the concept with these restrictions, plus coming back to meet state law, town ordinances, all of that.
Comprehensive plan.
You can't give a positive recommendation without it showing that it's consistent with the comprehensive plan.
It already isn't because of the 1 acre limit. I mean, comprehensive plan does not talk about 1/3 of an acre. It talks about 1 acre per dwelling unit. The other issue I have with contract zone two, the contract zoning goes with the owner of the property. Mm-hmm. And once that owner changes, that contract is no longer valid, right? Or has to be come back before. So
it says provisions for the transfer of the contract to come before the planning board and board of selectmen to demonstrate technical and financial ability to fulfill the contract.
Right. So they have to come back again and get
meaning they could sell it to somebody that had the money to keep it going.
Okay, so how is that going to work with a condo association owning the land?
Like built up, like
Is it going to have the funds behind it to?
Are you talking about constructed? Like, so then you sell your unit.
So again, this is to sell your contract and sell the whole project.
We will put deed restrictions on the entire property.
I don't believe that's what she's asking. It says provisions for the transfer of the contract to come before the planning board and board of selectmen to demonstrate technical and financial ability to fulfill the contract. Okay. That's to sell this.
That's
what would typically happen is once the association has sold 100%, typically, correct me if I'm wrong, when you set development, I know when I'm doing my job and I'm doing a condo, one of the questions I'm asked is one entity. A, is the developer still in charge of the association? That's typically during the construction and development phase. Then to address one of the residents concerned, what happens if someone comes outside and buys all of it? One of the other questions I'm asked is, does any entity own more than 10%? Yes or no? Well, in the initial development stage, of course, the developer is going to own more than 10% because these units aren't sold yet. Now, in their CCs and RS, covenants, conservations, and restrictions, they can put in that A, it shall be for single-family residential use only, and only a long-term renter can use it, you know, 1 year lease, deposit, the whole nine yards. No short-term rental. It doesn't become an Airbnb.
Bylaws.
Yes.
Correct.
And
but that, is that part of, that's in the homeowners association bylaws?
Correct.
Right. That is,
but that's not in the contract.
As part of our stipulation, it can be pushed into there. It
could be.
It can, and I've seen it multiple times. So we
will reference that this will be a condominium association.
Right.
By it, by that reference, that means we have to be governed by the state. And they have a long list of what you just talked about.
Yeah, and then once the, well, so many units are sold, if the association, governance of the association is transferred from the developer over to the homeowners association, who in turn create the budget and the whole nine yards and maintenance.
But who owns the land?
The association.
The association.
Now the contract goes with the association.
Well, they would have to come back here and come before the planning board to be reapproved. The contract has to be approved because the ownership is changing. It's not Bonnie Bag anymore. Now it's, or whatever.
Well, it'll be constructed. So now we've moved on. It's all built.
But your contract is with...
The contract zoning.
The contract zoning is with your
developer. One of the stipulations of contract zoning, and once it reaches 75% sold, it will transfer over with no additional requirement to come back in to modify the contract zoning. Simple paragraph.
Right. Yeah, I mean,
right. And we could have the option of modifying it at that point, wouldn't we?
Why would we?
Well, I mean, we could. There's no law that says we can't. That contract would be renewed. We could put other conditions on there, or even deny it.
Like it's grandfathered. Right? Once it's built.
No, contract zone does not grant.
Well, once right built, now, we should worry about what you're going to have for the next meeting now.
Yeah, we're getting them.
And move on.
But if I may.
Go ahead, Joe.
Okay, say if you put the parcel in there, the contract, and if there was transfer up to the homeowners association, what happens if that homeowners association dissolves? Is that in the realm of possibility? What happens to the contract then?
Anything.
I guess if everyone moved out of town and left their condo, I don't
know. Back, 2005, 2007, Old Orchard Beach, West Grand Avenue, before, what is it, Ferry Beach State Park, Kenny Shores and River, that association on the right-hand side started sinking, and that association went belly up.
Sinking like?
Sinking as in the whole development dropped like 2 feet into the marsh.
They're
not
on organics, I guess, huh?
It was
wetland. Hey, Blaise, what's your insurance level?
I don't do so.
But yeah, that whole association collapsed.
Go ahead, Patty.
They bailed. They dumped.
It would take something, enough. To answer your question, it would take something like that, I guess.
Steve.
Sorry.
I just wanted on record that the email that they have a copy of me asking MMA that question of whether we can use contract zoning to increase density.
Yep.
I was asked to do that by the current board of the selectmen before they sold Cousin School because they wanted to market it as elderly housing projects and use contract zoning to increase the density of that. Mm-hmm. So that's how they were marketing it to sell.
Okay.
Just so because there's a talk, and that's in the file for Cousin School, which the property owner has a copy of that file.
Okay.
That's
good. Oh,
that, can I ask a question about that? With that meant the Cousin School. So that's a big difference between turning the Cousin School into apartments or cooperatives or whatever you want to call them on 6 acres of land. That's what you were asking the attorney about, right? The school itself.
It doesn't say. It says, can we use contract zoning to increase the density?
Because that would be, even if you had 9 apartments in there, that would be 9 dwelling units, which would be required 9 times 3, 18. I mean,
two-thirds
the acreage, right? We didn't need to have contract zoning to reduce the acreage per dwelling unit. But that was for the Cousin School, right?
I don't know, because we looked at marketing it for people. I don't know if it was limited to just a school, because we wouldn't get an elderly housing community to come in for just 9 units. They're not going to invest in that. They want a bigger facility. But that was why that question was asked anyway. I just wanted people to know that that's how we were marketing the lot.
Okay.
So, back to your contract and the things that were said here tonight. So, we have to have something with a map?
Yeah. With a map.
We have the map.
We have the map. Okay.
We just have to send it out with the notice.
Send it out.
Well, that qualifies, we know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And we should send the condition. We should get the conditions.
Yes, yes, we'd like the conditions.
Right.
We will expand upon that.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, okay, I'm going to get back to my question. And my question is, I think the planning board ought to, before we move forward on this, I mean, I'm just saying we shouldn't have another public hearing if we want to have one, but before we move forward on this, I think we ought to take a look at the comprehensive plan under land use, where it says under strategies, against the strategy. And of course, the problem with the comprehensive plan is that it says a lot of things, and somebody like myself, who happened to be on the comprehensive plan committee, unfortunately, went along with all this too. But the problem is, it's in the comprehensive plan, but how can I put this nicely? It's very difficult to get anybody to do anything that's in the comprehensive plan because it takes a lot of work. And we're busy on other things, but it does say in here, consider establishment of low density and a medium density rural zone. Low density lots sizes between 2 and 5 acres should be considered to protect rural areas. And it says 1 acre lots should be considered near existing development in suitable areas. That says 1 acre lots. And then it says, under the next one, that's under planning board on the ORC, which currently
that's
is not.
That's when zoning changes to occur.
Yeah, I know. And what I'm saying is, we're not getting there. The cluster, and then the next one is, cluster development rules should be revised to allow non-buildable land to count as open space required for development. I think it's more of a technical comment there. But anyhow, we haven't done this. I mean, say we, the planning board, a lot of things are here for the select board, for other boards. Nobody does anything on this. I mean, I shouldn't say that. That's incorrect. Not many people do much on this because we're busy on other things and it's a lot of work to do it. But I'm a little concerned here because I know we aren't establishing a precedent by one project, but we're taking contract zoning and using that to
get around the zoning laws.
Yeah, there's nothing in the
zoning. We have that mechanism.
I know we have it.
But to allow uses.
Specific reasons at the time.
MMA says we can increase density, we can use it to increase density. Yeah.
But I'm just saying whether we ought to, I'm not saying we can't do it. My question that I think the planning board members ought to be thinking about is, should we do it? Even with restrictions and other things that are put on by the
developer. Go ahead, Patty.
My suggestion is we get their information, set out the correct public hearing notice, follow those four criteria. We don't do the contract, the Board of Selectmen does. We make a finding on four criteria. That's what we should do and leave it at that and let the selectmen do their job. We have a job. We should stay focused on what the ordinance says, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Okay.
If they meet those four, we make a recommendation, then the selectmen negotiate the contract. But we need the conditions and restrictions so we can do the correct notification to the abutters. But we're going way far. Like, we don't do the contract. We make a finding on four criteria.
And we vote on those individually?
Yep.
Okay.
And I think we should just stay focused on that.
Okay. So, Matt, with as specific as you can be at this stage of the conditions that you would address within the contract, taking into consideration everything that was voiced here.
We want to make your job, all of you, at our next meeting, we want to make it easier for you, that we will focus on the four
criteria. Why would you do that?
We'll make it on the, we will expand upon the four criteria with the conditions and restrictions that has been bandied about here tonight.
Excellent.
just listening to the YouTube video of this and going, okay.
I don't want to see myself on TV.
Is there anything you got the board wants to get a legal opinion on? Is it too early to do that?
I think it's too early. We need to see more detail in that contract.
I've got to read your email there about the increasing the density. That's something that's bothering me right now, and I've got to convince myself that it's not only legal, but whether it's the right thing to do. So.
Look at page 5 of the comprehensive plan. Provide areas of higher density zones to accommodate various forms of multi-unit housing.
Yeah.
And then we also go down into the third paragraph of strategies. Review and recommend changes. Now, this is to review and recommend changes that will accommodate housing units with more than 6 dwelling units, which this would technically fall under.
Yeah.
But we got to recommend a policy change, but this is a good example of why we need to get on this.
Yeah, and I would personally feel more comfortable if this was covered in an ordinance that had been approved and voted on by town.
Yeah.
But it's
not. They wouldn't need a contract, though.
No, I know.
That's why we adopted contract.
I know that, but I'm just saying that this is a big change. It's not a precedent necessarily, but I can see why people would be concerned about this. And because they're homeowners, and everybody who owns a home, as you all know, is probably your biggest investment you're ever going to make. And I know that you don't own you own your little piece of the property. You can't stop people from building something over here if they own that property, and it's allowed in the zoning ordinance when you bought it. Most people probably don't even read the ordinance when they buy a house. So anyway, we're making a change here. So I'm just saying, we've got to be careful here that we are listening, and also we ought to be considering whether or not we want to go forward with this without, as a contract. I guess maybe we would have to, but depending on what the applicant submits. But I just think it bears a lot of scrutiny. That's my 2 cents. Scrutiny. Anyway, all right.
Would be appropriate for us to individually try to recollect, or using our notes, all of the principal concerns of the voice as a list of conditions to be included in the next notification along with the map. You know, that,
I think they should provide a list of their proposed conditions and restrictions.
Okay.
And they heard what we heard.
Do we review it before it goes out? Did anything get missed?
You can if you want to. I don't know.
Well, if it's going to go out to the public, I would think that we would have access to it.
You have access to it, of course. Mm.
But it's proposed conditions, right?
Right.
And a map. That's what we're missing. Right. So it doesn't say what those conditions have to be.
Right.
Mm-hmm. As far as public notice is concerned.
The better you spell them out, the better the meeting will go.
Absolutely.
That's all I'm going to tell you.
I'm not suggesting anything different.
Answer the questions before it's asked.
Had they been in there, we would have had a vote tonight, I think.
But I don't know.
I don't know.
No, I mean, but the whole purpose of the public hearing is to get public comment. And I got to say one thing, just for the record. This is a much more comfortable public hearing than the one we had previously in the firehouse. In the middle of February, with the doors open.
It was November.
It was warmer.
Was it November? I thought it was the middle of winter. Oh, maybe
it felt like it.
It was still cold. This is warmer. This is better. So we're moving up the food chain a little bit. But we still had a lot of comments, so we should take those as seriously as we can.
Okay. So are we all set with these gentlemen for tonight?
I think so.
Yes, that's
so. Okay. So we're going to have to set a public hearing after we get everything together.
Yeah.
What's that?
It's going to take a while. It's going to take a while.
Is that beer still cold?
No, I'm not cold.
Sleepy time tea now.
I don't know.
When you get that all written up,
yes.
What's going to be in it? When we resubmit it, we'll get it sent out, and we'll set a public hearing.
That would be, just to make sure, it would be in that letter that
the more we send out, the better off.
We would it be, is this is what it would be in?
Notification from the board of selectmen. I have to look at yours. 10 days.
10 days.
You're actually going to write out your contract.
Right. Oh, that's the
thing you want in there.
Ready to go to the
that's in there.
But we
got to
get this stuff first, right? And you guys have to vote.
Patty.
Yes.
It has the upside down. Terms and conditions.
Correct. That's what they're looking for.
Yeah, 7.
Yeah.
Statement setting forth the terms and conditions. Yeah. So we'll put in there,
yeah,
2-bedroom, single-story, footprint not to be exceeded,
yeah,
or to go up in.
Try to address as many as the issues.
Septic, water.
Right.
The
more you can address, the better. Right.
Like, say it was only.
Do you guys want to set the public hearing?
Don't want the
I don't think we should set one until we get all the material.
Yeah. Review and look at it and go, yes, this has been.
I don't know what the rest of the board thinks, but it's quite a thing.
I think it's premature.
Yeah. And I still think we need to look at the comprehensive plan, too.
Yes.
And
make
sure that it lines up with that, because that's one of the conditions.
I'm sorry?
Yeah.
I don't know if we need to do that before the public hearing. We do that after the public hearing, because we have to vote on that. We vote on one of the conditions that it's consistent with the comprehensive plan, but we don't need to vote that it's consistent before we have a public hearing.
Okay.
We don't. We have the it's in the ordinance.
No, we don't have to vote on it. No.
Public hearing.
Right, but
it would be to their benefit to have that addressed. Then it would save time, wouldn't it? I mean, we still have to vote on it. But.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, so we're all set?
Yes.
Okay, you guys have a great night.
Thank you for coming.
Just curious about, if I may, schedule-wise, like when would we talk in another month or is it a couple of weeks?
Well, it's going to be, we have to have a 20-day notice for public hearing.
So that's going to take a bit.
If we decide, we have a meeting February 16th.
Right.
If we get information and we schedule the public hearing at that meeting for a future date, it will be a month from February 16th.
Yeah, so it'll be March 16th.
So it's going to push it out somewhat.
20 days, right? So
we're not trying to.
20 days. We meet the first and third Wednesdays of a month.
That's why he knew it right off the bat. Okay. So we're looking at the third week of March, right?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. That's what it looks like.
Okay.
Now,
just,
yeah.
Just the math. I mean, yeah. No,
we don't want to push it out at all, but I mean, I think is we need to follow up exactly what the ordinance says, because otherwise.
Oh, of course.
This one didn't count, so this isn't a continuation.
Well, this you got a lot of information.
No, I didn't mean that. The notice itself didn't count.
Because
what we're saying.
We didn't have the conditions of the contract in the notice.
Sent with the notice.
Sent with the notice.
Okay.
We should
so
we've got to follow.
So we have to
my question is, the notice that is sent out, is it a small card or is it a piece of paper?
What's sent out?
It's a public hearing notice, and we have to include a copy of the map and a copy of the conditions and restrictions.
And that is sent out to people within
500
feet. Okay, all right.
By usually certified mail, is that right?
Yep.
Okay, so it could be, it's going to be several pages.
That's your question, I've never received a notice.
Yeah, I've never gotten one. I mean, because I've never been within 500 feet.
Okay.
So. Okay, well,
great.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well, have a good night.
Thank you.
So do we have minutes?
We didn't press them all.
Okay, I'm good with that. And we already have an agenda for the next meeting.
Yep.
They will probably be on it also.
Yep, we can add them to it.
Okay.
Sidewalk too.
Yeah.
Oh, no, not public hearing.
We have a public hearing, I think it's at 6:45.
That for Bernier?
For
Bernier, yes.
Peter,
Mr. Rocky.
Yeah.
Yep.
Closing the meeting.
6:45, right?
Yep.
Can we not set that now and notice tomorrow?
Because
we have all the info. We're complete.
But we don't have your info to send out.
But we have a complete application. Because we voted on that.
Correct.
Well,
if we don't have, you're going to give us information to send out. We need it.
Although we were already complete, you know, that the additional information on conditions, expanded conditions, could be, I don't know if that could be viewed as a.
I did.
That would might require 7 days, right?
No, we still have to do the, we still have to do.
Good 20 days.
Yeah.
But do we, okay, I'm just trying to.
I know.
Two weeks to meet again to set it, to notice, we can't, what, we can't do that here, at this meeting.
Well, why can't we?
Yeah, we could.
Well, you're saying, okay, so we.
So how do we know he's going to have that in time to send out within the 20 days?
If he doesn't, then it doesn't happen. If they don't, if you don't get us the information we need to send the public hearing out.
Then you table us.
Right, then there's no public hearing.
That would, but what would that move it up to? That would be 20 days from when?
It would be the first meeting in March, I would say.
It would be March 2nd.
Man, that's not 20 days.
It'd be a month.
It's a month, that's 30 days.
Right.
Okay, I'm a month off here, wait a second.
20 days would bring it roughly to the 23rd.
Yep.
Which is on the fourth week, which we don't meet.
Okay, so we could go the 2nd of March. For a public hearing.
It does.
Can we do that? We can do that with the chairman, that works.
I mean, we're going to.
We've got any corners?
That's all we're going to be working.
No, it's not cutting corners. We already voted it's a complete application.
Right.
The problem was that the map didn't go with the notice.
We get the information on the conditions, we look it over next meeting, which is 16. It's a public hearing at that point in time, which sounds like what is the issue. I'm not keen on.
I agree with you, Joe. I think we should have him before we set the meeting.
Okay.
We can make a motion and have a vote.
But I don't want.
I'm just trying to give her every chance I can, you know?
Okay, so.
As is, I think. My point of view.
There's just been so much.
Okay, Mr. Chair, yes.
I don't want to. I've got a siege box.
Thank you.
No, I couldn't hear you, Patty.
We ready to adjourn?
Well, I make a motion to close the meeting.
Rod, do you want to vote on the minutes?
We don't have.
Oh, we don't have any, Paul. Do I hear a motion from you, Cecile?
Oh, yes, I move that we adjourn the meeting.
All in favor of adjourned meeting?
Aye.
I seconded.
Who's second?
I did.
Okay.